A little bit about my life. My introduction to the Baptist faith came when I was a small boy, still young enough for my grandmother to grab me by the hand and drag me over to Southeast Baptist Church in the Grant Park section of town where she lived. And this went on until I was about 8 years old and gained enough self-will of my own to pull away from it. Now, for the sake of time and the fact that I'm going to try to put about 5 gallons this morning over in a gallon jug, let's fast forward a couple of decades till I was the ripe old age of 30. I found myself down in Henry County Jail,
all right,
facing 20 years for trafficking in methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. And with the weight of that sentence hanging over my head, I remembered something old Granny said about a God she knew that would never leave me nor forsake me, and that if I ever needed him, all I had to do was call out, and that's what I've done. I went down there and I found that old jail chaplain, and like Nicodemus, I asked him, I said, "Sir, how can a man be born again?" And right then and there, he led me to the Lord.
All right.
That was 17 years ago. Of course, now that old judge down there, he wasn't nearly as impressed with my newfound faith as I was. He went ahead and gave me that 20 years anyway. And so I spent the first 7 years of my Christian experience inside the Georgia prison system serving time in God. And the last 11 years out here in the real world where the rubber meets the road, as they like to say. And I guess if I had to describe for you this morning what it's all been like, I'd borrow a line from Charles Dickens' classic novel, A Tale of Two Cities, where he says, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
All right, man.
It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness." And it might seem strange that right after I told y'all that I got saved down at Old County Jail and went to prison for 7 years, that I would use the phrase "the best of times" to describe it all. But really what God taught me both then and now is that his best for me ain't dependent on my circumstances.
Right.
His best for me is him.
Right.
And he didn't just save me in that jail and send me off to prison. He went down there with me.
Yes, sir.
And has been with me ever since. Now, I know this morning that, thank God, nobody in here is in prison, at least none of the kind with barbed wire and fences, but everybody in here is going through something. It might be a little something, it might be a lot of something, but it's definitely something. One wise old fella back in the day trying to describe the human condition said, "Most of us live lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave with our songs still in us." But I want to tell you something different in all that this morning. God don't want us to live no desperate life and die with our songs still in our heart. He wants us to live and breathe and sing. In one place he says, "Come taste and see that the Lord is good."
All right.
In another he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope." And he gave me all those same promises all those years ago down in that old ugly prison so I could walk the streets of Atlanta today a free man. A living witness, able to testify instead of that dead old junkie that the whole world, including me, figured I'd end up being. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody. Now let's talk about the worst of times. When I was locked up down there amongst all those other chain gang Christians, I used to hear a good many of them try and equate their time in prison to that of old Jonah when he was in the belly of that big fish. And truthfully, it sounded pretty good on the surface. But at the end of the day, I said to myself, I said, that just won't preach. And the reason it won't preach is because, and we just read it earlier, the Bible's fairly clear on one fact. Jonah went where he went because he wouldn't preach either.
There you go.
And in all the years I spent in prison, I never seen a single man in there who they locked up for not preaching.
All right.
Now, I met a good many of them went to preaching after they got there, but... And them's the ones, they'd say to me, they'd say, "Brother Corn, I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling you, I'm in here for running from God." And I say, "No, just like me, bro, you in here for running to sin, and there's a big difference between the two."
All right.
So prison was not the worst of times for me during my Christian life, nor do I equate that time to that of Jonah. Because the worst of times for me actually came about a year after I got out. In several places, the Bible describes what takes place in the life of a believer who's tasted the heavenly gift and went back out, so to speak. Some Christian circles call it backsliding. Recovery groups call it relapse. Others might call it a falling away. But at the end of the day, it's all the same thing. We look at God, The same God who saved us from ourselves in the beginning. And we say, you know what, Dad? I got you. Appreciate you, but I'm good now. And we go on off by ourselves all alone. And hear me well on this point. In spite of what's been talked down through the ages, God does not punish us for that. We punish ourselves. Jesus put it this way in the book of Matthew chapter 12, where he said, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. And the key word in that scripture is empty. A great man once said that inside every one of us, there's a God-shaped vacuum, and only God can fill it. And what he fills it with is his grace, period. Nothing else will do it. When I walked out of that prison, I had a lot of knowledge. I had a nice little degree from a Bible college tucked neatly under my arm. But the problem was I couldn't see none of y'all the way God sees y'all, because I didn't really understand how God sees me. And that's through a lens of grace. And now here's where the book of Jonah really will speak to my life. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I stayed out there for 5 solid years as a Christian, swallowed up by my addiction and alcoholism. And that for me was the real belly of the whale experience. But it wasn't the end of me. That's what Jonah said over in chapter 2, verse 1. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. And that's when he reached down, and he finally plucked that old needle out of my arm for the last time. And he set my feet up on the solid ground. And by then, not only did I have a clear picture of what his grace means to me, but because of where I'd been, even with my Southern Baptist mindset, I couldn't look down my nose at anybody. And thus began what I call the season of light. That was on October the 10th of 2010. And in the last 5 years, God has taught me how to live clean and sober one day at a time. He's taught me that my journey here on this earth is way more about progress than it is perfection. He's taught me that he's bigger than the Bible. He's bigger than any denomination.
Yes.
He's even bigger than any religion.
All right.
And any time I try with my own finite mind and limited understanding to contain him in any one of these, I do his kingdom a great injustice.
Yes, sir.
Hear me well on this. God can do and does whatever he wants to.
There you go.
I used to think that God would never place a woman as pastor over a church until I met one that led a congregation with such a heavenly grace that I realized that no man could have ever accomplished there in that big Baptist church what she did in ushering those folks into a new era of worship. And not only that, she let the hot air right out of my own personal brand of theology in the process. I used to think that a person's sexual orientation would keep them out of the faith until I served alongside a group of just such people whose faith made my own seem kind of small at times. Deep down inside, where nobody else knows, I used to wonder if I'd ever be able to live up to the tenets of what I thought was Scripture. And I used to give myself a false sense of security by looking around at other people and thinking, well, at least I ain't as bad as they are. And then I realized at the end of the day that none of us measure up. Not a single one. And therein lies the beauty of the gospel. It's God's grace that brings us together. And it's our grace towards each other that keeps us that way. And it ain't always easy, this thing we call community. I heard somebody say one time, to soar above with God, oh what glory. But to live down here with the rest of them saints, now that is a different story. One of the first things that caught my attention here at the Edgewood Church was a phrase that Pastor Nathan used to describe the work here. He said, we punch above our weight. And that's not always true about smaller congregations, but when it is, it means simply that God really is in the midst and really does have a plan and a purpose for the place. And I'm thankful to be a part of that here. Now, just a little about the darkness. For the first few years of my recovery and renewed Christian walk, I avoided this side of town like the plague. Reason being is my roots are here. Roots that run deep down into the darkness of crime and booze and drugs. But I felt God's spirit draw me, so I said, you know, come hell or high water, it's going to be okay. And it has been, and I'm thankful to be over here rolling through the zones on the much more grace of God. And so in closing, I want to share one verse of scripture that basically describes my life before and my life now. It comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 13, where it says, "And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing." Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that in my former life, I really was a curse. Not only to myself, but to the people around me, but God did save me. And so today, my goal is to at least try and be a blessing. Thank you, and may God keep you this coming week.